we have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs on Big Ten.
Final four! I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everyone, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And today we have a very special guest, none other than former Illini basketball player, current director of recruiting and scouting, Tyler Underwood. Tyler, thanks so much for joining the show here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chop it up.
Yeah, of course. All right. So we want to get right into it. I feel like there's kind of been a misunderstanding, or maybe it's just not talked about well enough, but as a director of recruiting and scouting, can you expand upon what your role looks like during the following times of the year? We split up into three different areas, like a live period where the coaches are going down to maybe Georgia, the dead period, which I feel like is now, and then in season, what are you going to be doing?
Right. So this year was a little unique with the live period, obviously because of Tim's late start date. So I had the opportunity to go out on the road and recruiting. During a normal cycle, that would not be my role. My role will be more so coordinating with like where coaches are going, schedules, just kind of getting a database of sorts put together so our coaches know where to go, who we're going to see, you know, what court they're on, things of that nature in the summer. And then with the transfer portal, never is kind of another live period in itself. So just, you know, kind of a transfer portal database. Just numbers and analytics and kind of break that down so it's easier for them to evaluate and see, you know, who we want to actually go after, who we need to watch more film on, things of that nature. But
awesome.
Dead period in terms of like it's a lot of visits right now since school started. So spend a lot of time just kind of organizing visits, setting up meetings, kind of activities we're going to do with the crews. Kind of just in charge of that scheduling side of things and making sure it runs as smooth as it should.
Awesome. And then when the season starts, what do you think? Obviously, the transfer portal, like you mentioned, is going to be
something
that you're going to be focusing on. But is there more to the role, like on a like a scouting basis of like for future games?
Yeah. Like I'll be involved in like we call it our pregame scouting report, breaking down film on opponents. Things of that nature, and then also our post-game analytical breakdown. I'll have roles in both of those. So it's kind of a vast position. I kind of get to dabble my hands in everything, which is great, great learning experience for me, and I'm excited for it. But the recruiting's been great. It's been a good learning experience. I feel like I've learned a lot already. I'm definitely excited to kind of get back into the basketball and the X's and O's and really focus in on this team and this season.
This past season, right, I think I've seen it in a few reports, you were like pretty deep into like game planning as well as like scouting few opponents.
Right. Yeah. We had a great staff, wish them all the best, but they were great for me just as learning tools. Got to watch a lot of film with Coach Gentry and watch, you know, X's and O's and see what he saw. And he was a guy who allowed me to bounce ideas off of him. And obviously my dad, we've been watching ball together since I was 5'6". So being able to bounce ideas off of him and just throw things out there was a great learning experience. And just kind of learning more that side of it as a player, you don't really get to see the everyday process and all the hours they put in and what goes into a scouting report. You just see the scouting report. That was great for me last year.
Got it. You kind of mentioned it already, but we see it sometimes on social media, but what is pretty much like the 48 hours of an official visit?
You know, a lot of, you know, they want to see campus. You got to do, you know, a lot of people are academically interested, so you got to take them to their academic meetings. And then, you know, lunch, we usually go downtown somewhere for lunch. Then, you know, photo shoot, we'll dive into kind of our style of play, how we play, how you fit into that, kind of our development piece, you know, look, you know, so for instance, Io DeSumo, this is how he progressed his 3 years. This was what we kind of deemed necessary for him to improve each off season and how we worked with him on that. So we're a big development program. My dad's always been big in development. So I'd say probably more so than others, we really focus on development and how you fit in the system and how we're going to utilize you. And obviously the fun things like football games and, you know, seeing the State Farm Center and all those things are added bonuses.
Got it. And then lastly, just about your job specifically that you just started, what do you think is something that might have been misunderstood that has been put out in the media or just like fans don't really, I think, grasp?
I mean, I think that, you know, obviously everyone saw me on the road recruiting this summer. Like that's not that was kind of a unique situation and one that I was very, very fortunate to get and really enjoyed it. Learned a lot. I thought we had a great summer on the road recruiting, but normal circumstances, I won't be on the road. Coach Anderson will be. So I that was probably a little bit misunderstood just because of the timing of it all.
Right. Of course.
I know that was kind of a unique situation, but was there like any moment when you were on the road where you're like, you're looking around, you're seeing like other high D1 coaches and you're like, whoa, like this is legit. Like I'm legit recruiting big time high level D1 basketball and looking for, you know, 4 and 5 stars and hopefully future NBA players.
Yeah, there are a few of those moments, you know, just, you know, going and sitting next to some of the sitting Big Ten head coaches and just talking ball with them and busting chops was like kind of like a surreal moment. Cause like 4 months ago, I was literally a player. And just, you know, I'd been to Peach Jam before, but going back to Peach Jam and just the atmosphere that is, and like you said, just kind of seeing all the people I grew up watching, honestly, growing up and getting to be right there with them was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm sure that's pretty awesome. When we've had football recruits commit, Brett Bielema has been very good about, I don't want to say ruining, but like forecasting it with a nice tweet that he always does. What's like the tweet we should be looking out for to know a basketball commit's about to or basketball recruit's about to commit?
I don't think we've seen one from you. We got to get something going.
I mean, if you guys haven't yet, shoot them over. I don't know. I feel like basketball is a little more like up in the air. Like kids really want to like make their decision and like kind of have it be their thing. Like you see a lot of the videos and all that. I feel like more so in football, like a lot of coaches and programs do that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. If you need any help, we've got your back. We'll maybe shoot you some ideas.
Content. So shoot them over. Hit me in the DMs.
That sounds good. On a more serious note, what is the Kofi replacement plan?
Kofi replacement plan? Well, there's not many 7 foot, 300 pound athletes like that. So I don't know if there's a Kofi replacement plan, but you know, I think Omar Payne's had a great summer. He's someone who we're super excited about, has a lot of tools. And for him to get it going against Kofi every day in practice, good. It's not only good for Omar, but it's also good for Kofi.
Okay, so Tyler, be honest, do you ever check recruiting rankings?
Yeah, I mean, anyone who says they don't is full of it. Like we all check them. The 247 came out with a new one today, and I mean, it's definitely good to monitor and see, and it's interesting, and it's probably not super relevant, but we all look at them.
Yeah, that was much more honest than we thought we were going to get.
Yeah, we have like when he says no, like how do we follow up?
Appreciate the honesty. And I think it's partially just because our fan base too is very like angsty about recruiting. So that's something we're always kind of like tied into. And especially people are really focused on in-state recruiting. I know we've had a few great guys, Io, DeMonte, Adam Miller, all come from in-state. What are the challenges in recruiting Illinois and specifically Chicago?
I don't think there's any challenges. You know, Chicago has been a great pipeline for us. And I mean, Io quite literally helped us get to where we are. So like without Chicago, I mean, Chicago has been great to us. You know, Adam had a great freshman year. He was a great teammate. I love the kid. DeMonte being from Peoria, like another Peoria pipeline. Like, you know, I think you see we recruit in-state well. Like there's always a direct correlation between success of in-state recruiting and Illinois being really good dating back, you know, to the 80s.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And one thing as fans, we feel very helpless sometimes. So we like to think that we're helping out by either like tweeting at recruits or like showing up at Ubbin. Is there anything that we at fans should do or shouldn't do to help you guys out? Maybe shouldn't do certain violations.
I'm hard. Like, you know, some fans are into tweeting at them and it kind of depends on the kid, honestly. Because some kids kind of like that, you know, all the attention and kind of the they feel the 1-2, and then you get other kids who are quieter and they just kind of want to be left alone, and the pressure becomes like too much. So I'd say it depends more on the kid, but I mean, that's what makes our fan base great, is they're so passionate, especially in terms of recruiting.
Yeah, it's a little wild. Our Twitter, the Illinois Twitter, is a little bit like a wild, wild west out there. You never know what you're going to get.
True.
We've seen in the last year, Coach K, Roy Williams, they both are retired and announced that they're going to retire. And it seems like, besides that they're old, it's sort of related to the NIL and the new transfer policies. Your dad is, in my point of view, is kind of like an old school coach, but he is willing to adapt when he can. How much of your job do you feel like is to keep your dad up to date and encourage him to do something a different way than he did in the past?
Yeah, that's the one thing I think with my dad that people probably don't appreciate enough, is like, throughout his coaching career, on, off the court, he's always adapted, whether it's to a team, whether it's to an offense, defense. He's very adaptable. He's one of those guys who loves learning new things. He's not afraid to change. No, but in terms of NIL, it was something he was always open-minded to. It benefited our players and student athletes, and he's not close-minded. You know, it's kind of a new realm that no one really knows what we're getting into. But we're going to find out, and things will be okay.
And then, given the one-time transfer policy thing, is there a sense that everything done throughout the season, it like has to sort of be monitored? Like, for example, like any interaction that a coach might have, like if there's any grievance, playing time and relationships that are on and off the court, do you have a feeling like it all has to be monitored while a kid is still like hasn't transferred yet?
You know, those things kind of just work themselves out throughout the course of a year.
Right.
You're just kind of focused on winning games and whatever it takes. And you know, kids are always going to come and go for whatever reasons, as you've seen in college basketball. I think it's kind of more of the culture of college basketball right now. I don't, you know, it's just kind of is what it is. I don't think it's necessarily as bad as people say. And I don't, you know, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I think the game adapts, college basketball programs adapt, and the transfer portal has kind of been a part of that.
And then the other point of that initial question about NIL, are you excited about NIL? Is it like another barrier for you guys to work through, or is it something that you're just indifferent to, have to adapt?
I'm excited about it personally. Like, I think it's awesome that guys can make money off their name and him. Like, I think that's how it should be. You know, I think it's something that you definitely, guys have to learn to manage. It's kind of a step from, it's almost kind of a step up in just responsibility and meeting times, and you're dealing with contracts and things of that nature. So I think it's a good learning tool for them, especially guys who are going to be going on to the next level, how to market yourself, how to carry yourself. But me personally, I'm all for it.
It seems like Trent has really taken advantage of it to start. We'll see who else gets those big deals coming up shortly.
Pay that man.
GoPuff ads.
You finished playing like right at the worst time before NIL came out, but shifting into your playing years, you could have technically played this year as I think your seventh year. Were you just like tired of getting beat by Trent and DeMonte all day in practice?
I think I was ready for the transition into the other side of it. Like, I knew coaching is what I wanted to do. I actually had off-season shoulder surgery before last year. You know, my body was just kind of to the point where it was just getting harder to get it going every single day. I was going to be done after the COVID year. Obviously, so COVID happened. So it was just time. You know, we won the Big Ten tournament. We had an unbelievable run. It was just time, and I have no regrets about it.
Yeah, no, definitely a high note to go out on, at least. What was it like being roommates with Io? Does he do anything other than like go to Ubbin, watch film, and play 2K? It seems like that's like, has he ever stepped foot in Lion or Cams or anything like that?
He stepped foot in them, I believe. I don't know. I think he stepped foot in them. You know, I was going to say 2K, but you hit that. I guess yell at his TV. He's a big Bears fan. Like, NFL Sundays, he's just screaming at his TV the entire time. Just screaming.
Yeah, he's a big Mitch Trubisky fan.
He was a big Mitch guy. And so I'm actually a Chiefs fan. So I have fun with him during NFL Sundays. So we were actually just texting the other day about it.
Yeah, I think we made the right decision drafting Mitch over Patrick Mahomes. You're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, I like that every once in a while. You could have had football, but...
During your playing days, did you have any rivalries with other Big Ten walk-ons? I'm thinking specifically like Steven Izzo or Jack Hoiberg at MSU or any other names?
No, not Steven Izzo's a good kid. Yeah, I know Jack. They're both great kids. I feel like walk-ons, we just all come together. No walk-on hates walk-on. Like a fraternity, like in a way.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. What's funny though is like some of those other guys we might have mentioned, they were like okay in high school. Like you balled out in high school. You averaged what, 21 points, broke your school's three-point shooting record. Like there's like that was definitely an earned walk-on spot.
Yeah, it was. Those were the days. I appreciate that.
And just kind of going back to your playing days, you played on some bad teams like the first couple of years, and then you played on some good teams. What was that transition like? And was there ever like a time where you kind of noticed the flip just kind of switched, or the switch just kind of flipped?
Yeah, obviously the first 2 years were difficult. Like, you know, I had been a part of my dad's teams at SFA in Oklahoma State, so I kind of knew what he was fighting for. And it was a hard transition. But, you know, he fought for our culture. And I really think you started to see our culture. I mean, my dad talks about like the Michigan State game at home. We weren't winning a ton of games, but that was just kind of like, okay, the hard work pays off. Like we can do this. And then I kind of thought year three, IO's game winner at Michigan, we kind of started carrying ourselves with a different swagger from that. And just in terms of a program, just kind of had a different swagger and edge about us.
Yeah. That Michigan State game Johnny and I were both there, and it was just like, it was an amazing feeling just knowing like, hey, we actually have this, like this was our storm the court moment. It was everything. But then like that Michigan game where Iowa hits the game winner, if correct me if I'm wrong, but that was like after the Maryland game at home and also the other Michigan game at home. Right.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Cause I think those games were in December, and then that Michigan game was in January.
Right.
So you have those two games at home followed by a Mizzou game that wasn't the best. And then you have that Michigan game. And right after that, that's when we started feeling ourselves and going, winning a lot of games. So that's definitely a good point. That was around the date where it kind of flipped. Yeah.
So yeah, this year, do you think part of our early season struggles were related to trying to fill the void of Andres Feliz? And like, how much did you miss him? And was it annoying that he didn't get to play on like a top five team?
Yeah, I love Dre. He's like, literally, like you just can't find a bad thing to say about him. That was the worst part of the COVID year. Like a guy like him who went through the hard times, didn't get to walk on the court in the NCAA tournament or get to lift a Big Ten championship trophy. We actually FaceTimed him after the Big Ten championship, like me and Trent. Like he was so happy for everyone. And but yeah, we definitely miss Dre and just his pit bull toughness mentality. You know, people don't realize how hard it is for freshmen. Curbelo and Adam are so talented and unbelievable players, but there's always kind of that learning gap early in the year. And you know, my dad's always been someone who's not afraid to play freshmen. And you know, kind of the early season struggles, that's how you grow as a freshman. You kind of got to go through it to understand what it's all about. So I think that was part of it. And yeah, I mean, Dre was such a big piece of what we did. It was hard to replace.
Yeah. He was just a dog. He's the man.
Pitbull.
Pitbull. Exactly. And then like once we kind of went through those struggles, really had success, I think we might've gone 15-1. I say we, like I was on the team, you were on the team, but you guys went 15-1, from like January to March. What was that run like just being in the locker room or day to day?
I'd say laser focused. You know, I think we carried ourselves with a certain edge and determination, and we knew what the end game was for us. And, you know, I think we kind of had a chip on our shoulder, and, you know, that was kind of the team we were. We like kind of being I don't want to say the underdogs, but we felt slighted sometimes, and we might have created that ourselves half the time. But that was kind of Io's demeanor and personality, and you kind of take on the demeanor of your best player sometimes. And he did a great job of leadership and leading us. It was fun though. It was fun. Like every night, I mean, we felt we were one of the best teams in the country, and you weren't going to beat us. And to play with that kind of confidence and swagger, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's funny. We kind of had a double-edged sword where it's, okay, this is an amazing team, top 10, top 5 team. Then Io goes down and it's back to being the underdog mentality, and it kind of played out really nicely against Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got to see, you know, a little bit of a flash into this season of what we can be. You know, Bello is he's an alpha. He loves the moment. He's not afraid, and I think you guys saw that on the biggest stage. And you know, I thought the cool thing was Io was his biggest cheerleader. And then you saw guys like Trent Frazier go off, and Demonte Williams and Jake Granson stepped up and showed that what they're capable of. And that's what's exciting about this year is I know what all those guys are capable of, and they're ready for it.
Yeah, so don't want to get too sad here, but what was the locker room like after the Loyola loss?
As you can imagine, I mean, we a lot of us had put a, you know, Trent and Demonte at the time didn't know they were coming back. Obviously, Io was out at the time. You know, Kofi, we didn't know. I mean, it was devastation. I mean, you put a lot of hard work, time, blood, sweat, and tears into it, and it ends so quickly. It almost doesn't seem real. It's hard to process. But again, I think we kind of did it. We processed as a family, and it was like it wasn't a blame game or anything. You know, it was just. It happens. It's life, and you put your pants on, and you're an everyday guy, and you go to work again the next day and try to figure it out.
Hell yeah, yeah. I think Io too during his press conference, like it almost looked like he hadn't even fully realized like what happened. It was just so like sudden. But what was that like next week like for you? Was that just? I mean, we as fans were just full on depressed.
Yeah, I didn't watch much of the NCAA tournament. I won't lie. Nope. But it was hard, you know. It ends so quickly, and I think I was the only guy on the team with any NCAA tournament experience at a time. So it's almost something that you don't fully understand how abrupt and painful it is until you live it. And COVID hurt, but like it's different.
Yeah, that's what's a bummer too about not having that 2020 tournament experience is like maybe you guys could have had that like tough loss in the round of 32, really felt that and just like, I don't know, have been like as prepared as you could have been for, I guess, what happened this time around.
Yeah. It's great. Like it's just the unpredictable. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been on the other side when we were at Stephen F. Austin, we're 14. It's what makes the tournament. The tournament, it's anything can happen in one game. Mm-hmm.
And like what was the vibe in your house for like the next month? Was that, were you like, okay, I'm not walking by dad's room, or what was that like?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I wouldn't say we didn't really talk a whole lot about the game, but you know, this is a 365-day job, and you got to start preparing for the next year, and the transfer portal being what it is, it starts up recruiting, and you kind of just toss yourself into that and get ready to try to do it again next year.
So since you've been at Illinois for a while now, there have also been other like guys who were only there for 1 year, some random guys like Matich, Higgs, Samba Kane, Adonis De La Rosa. Do you still like keep in touch with any of those guys? I feel like in 5 years when we hear their names, we're going to be like, oh, that was a person.
I actually just talked to Matisse the other day.
Yeah. Oh, really? Nice.
What's he up to? He's playing in Slovakia right now or no?
Playing in Slovenia, going to
med school.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, he's doing great.
That's awesome.
He's actually playing in Slovenia with a kid named Nikola Gajic, who my dad coached at Stephen F. Austin. So it's kind of a small world, he still hit me up all the time. Like he watches all of our games, and he was a great kid.
Dr. Vasile. I'm looking forward to that. Do you feel like you deserve more credit for introducing your dad to Neil Gonta and convincing him we should change our defense?
It's my dad's known Neil since we were in fifth grade. It was just kind of always around at our house, always a super smart kid. But I'm super happy for him. It was a cool experience kind of getting to live that last year with, you know, someone that's one of your best friends and seeing him be able to make a difference and kind of put his impact on the program.
What's something people don't know about your dad that we asked the same question for you about your dad, but what's something they don't know about him that you do, I guess?
I feel like people, because of his coaching style, is pretty, you know, his demeanor is, I guess, I don't know what the word would be, aggressive, or he's passionate. But that's not really how he is off the court or in any other kind of scenario. Like, he's super laid back, like, easygoing, like, just joking around the office, joking around at home, like, just a very easygoing guy. And I feel like most people are, like, super intimidated because if they see, like, him on the sideline or any of that, and, like, that's just, like, literally the opposite of how he actually is.
When you were playing in high school, so we interviewed Stephen Bardo, and he was like, I could analyze my kids, like, all day and give it to them straight, like, if I don't like their game. Was he, like, super analytical of you as a player, or was he just, like, pretty laid back and supportive like any other non-basketball coach dad would be?
Yeah, he was pretty laid back and supportive. The only, like, his biggest thing, it's literally just like play hard, do the little things. Like, that's all he cared about. He didn't care if you made shots, missed shots. Like, if you played hard and like did the little things to help your team win, like, that's all he really cared about.
Was it weird in practice at U of I? Like, would he just scream your name like any other guy? Like, was he more or less tough on you because you're a son, or was it kind of just like, you know, same as everyone else?
It was same as everyone else. I will say, I think I was the first player on the treadmill 6 straight seasons.
That's a good way to set the vibe.
Okay. So on a more hard hitting note, what is the Underwood family's favorite restaurant in Champaign for a family dinner? And also, what's your personal favorite or your personal go-to?
Ooh. Favorite family dinner, I would say, this is good. Maze.
Oh, nice. That's the correct answer.
Are we going to the downtown Champaign one as a family, or are we going to the one on campus?
Downtown. We go downtown. Okay. And just pick it up too.
Right.
But big Maze family.
Got it.
That was our deal. My personal favorite, on campus, I'll go with Sakanaya. I'm a sushi guy.
Nice.
Downtown, I'll go Big Grove Tavern.
Nice.
Very solid.
Both solid options.
And like Maze, what are you getting and what is your dad getting?
So we have the same order. We get the tostadas.
Solid. Ooh. Yeah.
And I'll get the torta some too. If like it's lunch, I'll mess around with the torta. But
have you had the Vulcan yet?
No, but Zach Griffith used to get it.
They're amazing.
Smart guy.
Just fried cheese on a taco.
There was literally a summer. I think me and Drew Casey and Trent Frazier, like, we'd get done with workouts and we would go to Maze like 4 days a week. Like, it was literally just all we ate one summer.
That's part of the body by flesh routine.
But
yeah, no, that's good stuff. Okay, so let's talk a little upcoming season. So we have a few new assistants. Jeff was promoted. We got Chester. We got Tim. What's kind of like the new vibe been like with those guys?
It's been great. You know, I've been so impressed with all the new guys. They're so hardworking. They've hit the recruiting trail hard. They've done a great job with our guys and building relationships, and just kind of trying to absorb all the information they can on kind of what my dad expects, what we're going to do. And they've done a great job. Been super impressed. And I think our guys would say the same thing. It's kind of been a seamless transition in a way. It doesn't feel like a super different vibe or anything like that. So it's been a good.
Yeah. Chester's like a ball of energy, and I know the fan base just loves him. Have you,
He's awesome.
Have you seen the video of him when he's a player and like getting the team going pregame? And he's like, who are we, Illinois? Who are we, Illinois? Who the fuck are we, Illinois? Yeah. I want to run through a brick wall.
Like, it's like, you're just like, yeah, you're literally ready to run through a brick wall. So
do you think there's going to be a difference in playing style at all with the new assistants, or I guess with the difference in like personnel?
You know, I think you've seen us adjust kind of each year my dad's been here. We play a little different brand of ball. I think this team is a really good shooting team. I think we'll play maybe a little faster, shoot more threes. But, you know, I think we'll have the same kind of principles all the last years. But we'll always throw a new wrinkle or two in and see what we can get out of it.
Your dad, John Rothstein, and a few other reporters have made Austin Hutcherson's stock more inflated and speculative than Bitcoin. Is it justified?
Yeah, Hutch is super talented. He really is. Like, he's a legit 6'6", super athletic, shoots the ball, has great feel. He can do a lot of things. He's got a lot of talent, and I'm super excited for him because people probably, you know, he's persevered through a lot. You know, it hasn't really been a normal journey for him or an easy one. So I'm excited for him to kind of get to see all his hard work come to fruition this year.
I mean, you're not going to guarantee this to us right now, but people have penciled him in to be the starting 3/4. Is that something that you can guarantee to us right now? I know you're not going to do it.
Who knows?
But we have heard some early season workout and reports, and they've praised all three freshmen. Do you want to like run through what you've seen and liked from each one of them?
Yeah. Like, Brandon's had a great fall. He's super strong, has a very mature body, has a great feel game, can do some things with the ball, has a good, really good passer. And then he's an elite shooter. He makes a lot of shots. He's a unbelievable workout. He lives in the gym, has a special work ethic, and he's picked things up quickly, and he's looked great. And RJ is kind of a 6'7", super long, super athletic, one of the more athletic guys we've had here. And is super versatile, can really guard. Again, a guy who has good feel, super fast. He's going to be a really good piece for us. And then Luke Goody's just kind of been, he's 6'7", a big time shooter, super solid. And all those guys are just trying to figure it out. It's such a big adjustment from high school to college. But they've all lived in the gym, doing everything that's asked of them. And I'm super excited about all three of them.
And then someone who has I kind of feel like he slid under the radar a little bit since he joined the team and transferred in, but Alfonso Plummer, can we get like a comparison of like who he kind of reminds you of that we've seen since, I guess, you guys have been at Illinois? Or is it someone completely bringing a whole different set of skills to Illinois?
I was around Phil Forte at Oklahoma State, and he's probably Plummer's the best shooter I've been around since Phil. Just an elite, elite shooter, makes really hard shots, gets it off it so quick. He's someone that Illinois fans are going to love. He's got a special talent. He's an elite shot maker.
Does your dad also have a thing for lefty jump shooters?
Apparently so.
Yeah, the amount of guys that we've gotten over the years is pretty remarkable.
I think we were talking to Robert, who is sort of our boss, and I'll call him my boss because he's probably going to listen to this. And he points out like another lefty. The Underwoods must think like that there's something special about like the lefty. It's like it's going to change up the whole defensive look or something like that.
I mean, have you ever seen a lefty ugly jump shot? I think it's
right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Good point.
And yeah, what about, say, our guy Omar Payne? What are you seeing from him? Have he and Kofi kind of battled it at all yet, or is this still like too early for kind of scrimmages?
Not a ton of scrimmaging or anything like that, but they go head to head in drills. And Omar's, I've been super impressed with. He's a willing learner. He listens so well. And then he's obviously been in college for 2 years, so he has some understanding of what the college game's all about. He's someone who's eaten up the weight room and done everything Coach Fletcher's asked of him. And you really have seen improvement in those areas. And he's a freak athlete, has a lot of tools that you just can't teach. And I think he's going to be a great player. He works hard. He's someone we're super excited about.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. One other question I had, just like, you've seen so many guys come in and out throughout your 4 years at Illinois now. Could you just sense there was something different about Io right when he walked into campus or right when he went into the locker room?
Yeah, Io has a special competitive spirit. It doesn't matter what he's doing. He's competing at it and he wants to be the best. And what separated him from, you know, a lot of people is he was willing to put the work in on the front end to achieve those goals. So he kind of, you know, and that's what my dad's culture is all about, is hard work and the little things. And Io truly embraced that. And when you have your best player do that, it kind of becomes contagious. And now it's something we don't even think twice about. It's who we are. But I think what made my dad and Io's relationship so special was that they were so similar in a lot of ways. Like they had a great relationship. They were in sync every step of the way. So there was no breaking that bond. And I think it showed.
Yeah. So kind of to wrap it up, last question here, talking kind of about Io, he was like an alpha. He was always a guy. He was like the closer. So have you and the coaching staff talked about now you actually have to draw more final plays, and who do you think is going to be that guy who's going to close out for us?
Well, I think you got a brief glimpse of it last year. Indiana game, bowed out. I mean, Trent Frazier stepped up and made some huge, putting Bello in a ball. Most of the time, something really good is going to happen. A big fantastic. And then, I mean, in the Big Ten championship game, you saw Curbelo step up and make a huge 15-foot jumper. Trent's a guy who's made shots throughout his career. Alfonso Plummer, I think, is one of the elite shooters in the country. So, yeah, it'll be probably a little different. Io was someone at the end of games, like, he wanted four low. Like, that was kind of his deal. He didn't want to screen and bring another guy to him. So you probably won't see as much four low, but you'll definitely see different actions. And we'll see. It's kind of something that kind of has to play out. It's a feel thing.
Well, we can definitely see how much you take after your dad there. The number of times you must have said elite.
Saying elite, like, I'm going to get chirped for this.
Yeah. Well, we thank you so much for joining. I don't have any other questions. Johnny, Sam, you guys have any? We're good to go.
We're good to go. Ready for another season. I'm sure we're one football loss away from really being ready for the season, yeah. I think.
Well, I appreciate you for joining, and we'll see everyone on the next episode of The Boardroom. ILL.